Today's lesson is entitled Spiritual Recertification Equals Business Franchise Reinstatement. Spiritual recertification, you can just type that. That's spiritual recertification is what we're going to be focusing on here. Spiritual recertification equals business reinstatement. That's all I'm saying. When you certify, when you recertify spiritually, your business can be reinstated. I got a letter this week from the IRS about tax exemption, stating our status. Your business has been reinstated as tax exempt. So today's message is really all about a meeting. We're going to visit a corporate meeting room where there's going to be dialogue from yourself and God, where you seek to recertify yourself spiritually, and God then will reinstate the status of your business. So after turning over all things that went wrong last week, after looking at 2020 in repentance, kind of being honest about what you did wrong, looking at your books, kind of evaluating what didn't work out, you know, and then there will be some things that you don't have answers for. So in those cases, stuff that happened that you don't know why and you don't have any reason for it, accept the loss, but keep the data for future references. It may make sense later. What you don't understand now about 2020, you may be able to understand later. That's what repentance is. Repentance is not bringing over the baggage of 2020, but leaving it there and then turning and going in a different direction. So you don't want to spend all of 2021 trying to rehash 2020. You want to settle the losses, be honest about what it is you didn't do, you should have done, clear all that up, you repent it. That was last week. Then what you want to do is call a meeting with Heavenly Corporate. I call it Heavenly Corporate. You're a franchise, you're a business owner, and you want to bring your books before corporate and say, here's what we discovered, here's what we found in 2020. We want to disclose that to you. Transparency is key. Your success for 2021 is going to be all about your transparency with God. So what you want to do is with the mistakes you've discovered of last year, you want to basically realign or reconnect. Here it is. Recertify your spirituality with God so you can restart the family's work for 2021. Basically, I recall a time when our corporation forgot to file a particular tax document. And because of that, our relationship with the government agencies had been suspended until we explained why we fell out of compliance and didn't file the required documents. So when we didn't come to the table and explain why we fell out of compliance, the agencies did not recognize us. So once we argued our case on paper and on phone call, I was on the phone saying, man, I didn't see the paper or we were out of town or we moved and didn't get it. Whatever it was we were saying, we explained our case. Then they reinstated our relationship with the government agencies, and we were once again allowed full privilege. We were allowed the privileges of a corporation in California. What I'm trying to get you to see is that once you go to the table and you argue with your case with God in this meeting room, explain to him you messed up, you were asleep on the job, you didn't do what you were supposed to. Explain it. Be transparent. Why? So you can get reinstated. You don't want to continue in the same minutia and junk that you were doing in 2020, feeling pity or sorrow for what you didn't do. Change it. Let's start. And the significance of a new year, yes, it rolls over, but we do things in a 365 calendar. This is January 1 is a new year. It starts over. Ain't nobody asking you to run your taxes all the way through forever. Every year you report, every year you report. So that's why we're at this meeting table and we're reporting. We're reporting right now to recertify at the beginning of the year to make sure our business is in compliance with what God has for us. That's all right, y'all. Okay. All right. Listen, and so the beauty of this report, let's say what's today, the 10th, right? So we've got a little grace period. So in other words, when your account gets suspended, there's a difference from being suspended versus permanently closed. When you're suspended, you can actually recertify or get reapproved and you maintain your status for all the years that you maintain all your documentation and data from all the years you've been apart. So you don't want to wait till the end of the year and be like unapproved and have to start the process all over again. You may be suspended. In other words, by suspended, I mean you're out of fellowship. You've fallen out of fellowship with God. You've fallen out of the congruence of heaven and earth working together for the will of God. You've fallen out of your role and you need to move from that suspension, which is allowed by God's grace period. This is January 10th. He's given you a grace period to step in and say, recertify me, Lord, so I can get back to work. Now, I found that a similar principle applies when it comes to serving God in the family business. We too need this annual spiritual reinstatement or recertification when we fall short of His requirement. So let's stick with the franchise business. Let's stick with that. That if we happen to fall out of compliance with corporate as a franchise, we may have to recertify at the end of the year to stay in business with the corporation. When you recertify, you are again eligible to the funding. Remember, a franchise is under the umbrella of a bigger corporation, which means they have resources that you benefit from. They will invest in you. They will support you. They will give you software. They will give you tools. They even have they do the marketing. They send you packages of promos. This month we're advertising $5 footlong Subway, $5. That comes from corporate. These franchises are not coming up with those ideas. So God will deposit His marketing ideas in your spirit. He will reveal to you what heaven wants. And He says, I want you to bring in the earth realm what I gave you in the spirit. Just like the Bible said, I receive it in my closet. I receive the direction in private, but I preach it on the rooftop. Do you get what I'm saying? So I bring the heavenly into the earthly. So when you recertify, you're eligible for all of that. And this is like what we call a confirmation meeting. And at recent meetings, at these kind of meetings or recertification meetings, they basically want to know, here it is, Kevin. They basically want to know, are you going to do what we want you to do? That's the bottom line. Corporate wants to know, are you going to follow our standards? If you are going to be in compliance, that's all we want to know. Because if I sent a letter to the government and said, well, I didn't fill it out because I didn't want to, and I don't plan to, and they will say, well, you will not be a corporation. You will not be a business that is allowed the privileges with our government agencies. No, this meeting today, this spiritual recertification is about one question. Are you going to do what I ask you to do? If not, we will not be authorizing you to wear our name and brand. It's like getting clearance again. Every year, government agents, they have to, or so many times they have to get clearance. They have to get clearance again. Top secret, whatever. You got to get clearance. It means we have to check to see, are you doing what you, never mind. So in today's text, Israel had just come out of a year like 2020. and they had breached all kinds of God's protocols and procedures. And Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 reveals the reinstatement process that God used with Israel. And we will analyze this historical meeting to see how to function in contemporary society. It's funny how texts of the ancient days still has applicable relevance today. So after this debacle of a year that was defined or outlined in Isaiah 1, you can read about it in chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. It talks about the year and the problems they had, but we're not going to go into that. We already know what we did wrong. So we're going to move to the meeting, which is in verses 18 through 20. All right. Are you guys tracking? All right, let me know. Are they okay, Joy? Let me know if they're tracking. I need to know if you, because I'm giving you some juicy stuff. You need to be ready. So let me read this passage. The Bible says, the Lord says, come, let us, King James Version says, let us reason together. This is the New Century Version says, come, let us talk about these things you did wrong, Cynthia. Though your sins are like scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though your sins are deep red, they can be white like wool. If you become willing and obey me, you will eat good crops from the land. But if you refuse to obey, and if you turn against me, you will be destroyed by your enemies' swords. The Lord himself said these things. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So basically, here, it's not, this meeting is not to litigate. This is important. This is important, baby sister. This meeting is not to litigate what went wrong in 2020. You're not there to talk about, you know, is God going to do this or what, or we're not there to litigate it. We're there just to state what it is and figure out what we're going to do with it. Once you've figured out what's wrong and what you've done wrong, don't let it stay with you. Resolve it. Resolve it means do something with it. Have this meeting with yourself. Amen. Every franchise will do its own meeting to discover their failures and repent within themselves. So before the franchise even gets to corporate for the meeting, the franchise has to do its own work to figure out how their books balance or don't balance. They have to forgive themselves first, then send their books up to the higher ups to make sure their condemnations match the ones with the company that they came up to. So once there is an agreement, then the books are wiped. So let's analyze the recertification process a little more closely. Let's go to verse 18. Let's go back to verse 18 and let's drop some dimes on this one. The text says, the Lord says, come, let us talk about these things. This is what I want to focus on. Let's talk about these things. Can we talk for a minute? So the text says, come, let us reason together. In other words, come to the table, Danielle. The text says, come, let's talk about what are we talking about? We're talking about the stuff you did wrong in 2020 and we want to resolve it. Let's discuss what happened so we can reconsider if we will recertify you for a business this year. God wants to know, where's your head? Where's your head? Where's your head, Lisa? He wants to know, what are you thinking? Where are you at? Where are you spiritually? So that I know how to fund, how to send out checks to you, how to put you in positions or how to establish roles or opportunities for 2021. I need to have this meeting with you to find out where your head is. Here it is. Point number one. Write this down. Let's get it. Explain yourself to God in 2021. Explain yourself to God. I'm going to say it again. Explain yourself to God. Daddy Kane, don't you see? Don't you see, Daddy Kane? Explain. In other words, reason with God. Remember I said, once we fell out of fellowship or we were suspended as a corporation, we had to explain ourselves to the government. I'm saying to you, You've fallen out of fellowship. That's what prayer is. That's what confession is. It is explaining yourself to God. When my kids used to say, "I'm sorry, Daddy," I'd say, "You're sorry for what?" In other words, in your explanation, it will help me see if you really understand what you did wrong. Have you ever heard people apologize and it don't sound like they really mean it? It's just words. So God says, "I'm not going to recertify you, and I'm not going to call you to own my business and operate as a manager if you don't let me know where you really are." You can't lie to God. He knows where you are. So listen to this. He's not afraid of hearing what you did. Guess what? He already knows. He wants you to acknowledge it. So talk to him about what went wrong. Argue your case. Let him hear your voice and expose your heart. This is good teaching. I hope you're getting this. Hope you get this. Lisa, at this meeting, you will argue for recertification and reinstatement. You must state your case. In other words, you can't come to prayer and be like, "Whatever you want, Lord." That's employee mentality. That's employee mentality. Every time you come to God, it's like, "Well, whatever you want." No, argue your case. "I messed up, but I'm going to do better. I'm making progress and I want to serve you. These are the ideas I have for next year and I need your support. I know I can't do what I want to do in 2021 if you don't reaffirm me or recertify me. So I'm arguing my case." Oh man, woo! Husbands and wives, families ought to sit down and do this together. God, hallelujah. This is good. Your argument is much like, "I'm sorry. My bad. We had a bad year. It won't happen again, sir." You know, etc. In other words, we're going to do this in our household, Joe. We're going to do this. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk about 2020. We're going to say, "This is what went wrong, but this is where we're going to be." This is different from repentance. It's different from repentance. We aren't here to rehash what you did or to litigate it. We're here to certify. We're here to say, "I'm going to do what you need me to do. I don't want to go into it rant and rave." He already knows about that, but he wants you to apologize and he wants you to state it and admit it so he can hear whether or not you really understand how you were off base. You cannot continue in business the same way, expecting a different result when you didn't have profit from last year. You cannot keep recycling the old projects that don't bring profit. This is a year of profit. I'm talking about money. I'm talking about God's kingdom. I'm talking about souls. And with all of that comes money, comes provision, comes a house, comes the needs being met. It's all right. I'm going to keep on. God knew exactly what he was doing. You know why a meeting is important? You know why a meeting is important? Because you can be held accountable. When I call customer service, when I call people in the business and they did something wrong, I call them and I make sure it's documented. I know the time and I say, "Please, what was your name again?" So I write your name down. I write the time that we met. Why? Because you will be accountable. If you don't refund my credit card, I will be calling again to say you didn't refund me like you said on October 30th at 2:15 p.m. with Supervisor Robin Lurch. Do you hear what I'm saying? So I want you to say, God understands that this meeting today is on record. It's on record to hold you accountable so that when you say today, "I am all in and I'm going to do what you want me to do," I want to be clear that I want to be certified so I can operate in your business. This meeting is necessary. Listen, it's necessary, Shauna, to maintain. Listen to this. This is powerful. But Jermaine, check this out. This is, you know this, you're a business owner. Listen, it's necessary to maintain business purity and continuity. So in other words, this is how a Big Mac stays a Big Mac and a Whopper stays a Whopper. Because there has to be a reckoning with each franchise business for integrity. In other words, if you say you own the franchise of Burger King and you making a fat burger where we sell Whoppers, that breaches business integrity and continuity. So I need to call you in for a meeting to ask you, are you going to make Whopper the way we wanted to, or McDonald's, 2-all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, all on a sesame seed bun? You remember that? You remember that? 2-all beef patties. Never mind. Y'all too young for that. Listen. So listen, he wants to know, are you going, cat dog it, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is about business continuity. God says we need to have a meeting so that I can make sure you are doing business continuity. Will you comply with the way we make souls? Will you comply with how I want people to be saved? You can't say you're a Christian, run around, keep judging people all year long, cutting people off all year long. That ain't the way I do it. My house is a house of forgiveness. My house is a house of mercy. My house is a house of prayer. My house is a house of grace. But you keep running around all arrogant and overly religiously sadity, treating people like they're inferior to you because you think you know more Bible than them. I don't care how much Bible you know. I can stop you in your tracks. I need to maintain business continuity. Somebody ought to say amen to this. All right, so here are some business principles. Write this down. Write this down, Sharita. Here are some business. I wish Starla was on. She needs these business principles. Here it is. I'm just going to give you three quick ones. I'm going to give you some more all throughout. So write them down. Take a picture. Number one, be comfortable talking about what went wrong. When you're a business owner, you've got to be comfortable talking about what went wrong. The reality is the buck stops with you. You are responsible for your business. Number two, be able to explain why you think people should continue to work with you. So if you see that something went wrong, you have to be in a position to explain why people should continue in business with you. So you're coming to God to say, look, I messed up, but here's why you should keep me in the kingdom. Let God say you going to hell today. I bet you come up with an argument with you. Be like, hold on, Jesus. Hold on, Lord. Let me explain myself. I'm going to get it together. Listen, when God, you have to be able to speak up about what values you have. You, woman, man, you have to be confident in who God has called you to be. You have to be able to argue why people should invest in you. Why should people give you that job? Why should people give you the position of manager or chief executive officer? You ought to be able to explain why people should invest in you. And then the third principle is this one. It is things will go wrong. You just better get used to that. 2021 is going to have some stuff that's going to go wrong, and you will be back at this table to recertify. Can I get an amen? Now let's talk about God's response to Israel's reasoning. Let's talk about his response. Here's his response. Verse number 18 says, the Lord says, come, let us talk about these things. And here's God's response. Though your sins are like scarlet. Now watch this. Listen to the wording. They can be as white as snow. Look at that. Though your sins are like scarlet, here it is, they can be as white as snow. Though your sins are deep red, they can be white like wool. Somebody say condition. Condition. Write that out now. Condition. Your spiritual recertification has a condition. There it is. It can happen if, here it is. It can, listen, your scarlet can be white if, all right? Remember I told you this. Here's what we learn from these meetings. Here's what we're going to learn. There's a condition here. God has a condition. When you sit at this table and you explain yourself, okay, I heard you. You explained it. I heard you. But there's a condition. Now, what do we want to see from this meeting? Here's what we're going to learn from this. Here's number two. God wants to forgive you. This issue, listen, it's one thing to argue with people who don't want to give you what you're asking for. But it's another thing to argue with somebody who wants to give you what you're asking for. That's not really an argument, is it? It's not really an argument, D-Lo. It's not. When God wants to do it for you, Carolyn, when God wants to do it for you, it's not really an argument. It's just really you complying with his request to meet at the table and talk about what you did wrong and hear you say, I'm going to do what you asked me to do, Jesus. I'm going to do it your way. Not my way, but thy will. That's all right, man. Y'all, listen, first of all, he wants to forgive you. Now, listen to this. While God has rejected our behavior, he has not rejected us. Whoa, you need to write. That's a quotable. While he has rejected our behavior in 2020, he has not rejected us. That is the importance and the cruciality of repentance. Repentance leaves the sin behind. It causes you to turn away so that God can work with you and not your sins. God is not interested in your sin. He is interested in you, God. Woo! The fact that God came to the table indicates his willingness to forgive you. The fact that corporate says, let me hear your response or why you fell out of compliance is a bonus for you. The people will write you, they'll send you a letter and say, you're suspended. Meaning, do you want to respond? Do you want to let us know? Maybe we can work something out, whatever. We have to do a better job at coming to the table to be recertified. We keep letting people suspend us and we don't ever say anything. We let people berate us and we don't say anything. We let people cut us off and we don't say anything. We lose privileges and benefits from family and friends who have gone another direction and we never seek closure. We never come to the table because we just figure I don't need nobody anyway. And that's why your business is not profitable. Your business profits when you have meetings to establish closure or kickoffs or initiations of projects to do due diligence, evaluations for reporting, for project strategy. This is what meetings are for. And you keep letting stuff happen and you just keep getting nothing. You keep getting kicked to the curb. I'm telling somebody 2021 is about coming to the table. Somebody say, I'm coming to the table. So after you acknowledge your sins with yourself, then you present yourself to God so he can wipe them away and give you a clean slate to function in the business. The goal of this process is to keep each year from having perpetual impact on your books. The reason for this meeting is to let 2020 books be closed. You've heard the phrase before, I closed the book on this, right? That means once it's closed. It can't be opened anymore. As in Revelation, God says there's a book that no man can open but Jesus, the Lamb of God. Or also in Revelation, he says he opens doors that no man can shut, and he shuts doors that no man can open, which means that that situation is locked tight. Once you come to this recertification meeting, ain't nobody bringing up your past from 2020. What you will have to reconcile is 2021. But 2020 is over. Closure is important. Recertification meetings are important so we can stop rehashing the same crap we keep rehashing every year. Married couples ought to have a recertification meeting. It's called basically a do-over year. It's called renewing vows. That's what a renew a vow is. A renew a vow is hoping to say, let's forget about all the hell we went through and let's reestablish a new start and say, baby, I love you again. Let's try this over. I do and I will. Hello. The goal of this process is to put you in a position to be able to move forward. Somebody say move forward. To avoid the years from running into each year to where it just overlaps. 2020 is 2021 and 2021 is 2022. Some of y'all still in 1983 and some of you are still in 1985. Some of you still got pain from 1990 because your year keeps running over. I'm telling you, put a dam in front of it. Stop the bleeding. Stop the water from running. God, come on, move on, Pastor Cherry. I got to get off of this. I want you to avoid stuff from running over. Remember, the purpose of this spiritual recertification is so that our business franchise can be reinstated. Somebody say reinstated. Take note of another business principle. Here it is. Take note of another business principle. It's just one this time. A business can't function for profit while seeking retribution for the ills of the past. Why? Because your focus is split. You cannot be effective in 2021 if your focus is split, going back and trying to re-argue, re-litigate, seeking retribution for stuff in the past. You will never operate at an optimum perspective with the kingdom of God when you're trying to retrieve stuff God has let go. God is not worried about that anymore, and neither should you be. So if you say you trust God, and if you say you have faith in God, then stop worrying about all the stuff you cannot change or control. Focus on what is yet ahead and allow your business to operate and function for profit. No more business, just status quo. I don't want a business to be sustained. I want a business to make profit. I want to see stocks go up. I want to see souls get saved. I want to see ministry be more powerful. I want to reach more souls. I want my marriage to burgeon. I want us to become more intimate. I want my children to be more conscious of other people. I want my soul to be right with God. I want to pray more. I want to make sure I'm an entity. I'm a vehicle for God. I'm a host for the Holy Ghost. I want to be in a position where God can use me. That's all right. I got to move on. This is too much. Joy, you got to help me here. Listen, I want to make this clear. The meeting is to settle any non-conformities, but there are two conditions. Here are the two conditions to be met, and then I'll let you go before the business is reinstated. There are two conditions you have to say yes to. This is what you've got to do. These are the conditions before you can get reinstated. You have to, you've explained your case, right? And it's time to hear from corporate in terms of what they expect. So let's go now to, let's see what corporate expects. Now, here's what you're going to do. They're going to say, all right, well, I was already willing to forgive you. I'm willing to forgive you. We got that done, right? We're done. Now we talk about reinstating the business. We finished the recertification spiritually. We got the spiritual part out. Now let's talk about how we reinstate the business. So verse 19 says, if, you see the condition? If you become what? Willing and obey me. The Bible, King James Version says, you be willing and obedient. You should eat the good of the land. Some people say that at grace. They would say that at grace. Every time they would sit down at the table, you be willing and obedient and eat the food of the good of the land. This text, the context of this text comes from a debauched year out of Isaiah where Israel acted a fool. And he's saying, listen, I need you to come back into compliance. He says, I need you to get this right. So here are the conditions. Here's the conditions. Condition number one, here it is. Consent, meaning I need your consent. Most agreements, most meetings end with you signing some document. That signature is to say you accept what the contract says. You accept what God has put before you. Here it is. So accept what God, listen, condition number one, consent means to be willing. It means God wants our consent. He wants you to be ready. He wants you to be eager to do something. Are you willing? Are you willing this year? I don't want to have to beg you. I don't want to have to coerce you. I don't want to have to promise you $1 million before you get up off your laurels. I don't want to have to promise you I'm going to get your marriage back. I'm going to give you your marriage. I'm going to give you a new car. I just want to know, are you willing? This is not about making a deal with the devil or making a deal with heaven. This is about one question. Are you willing? I feel the Holy Ghost coming, preacher Cheryl. This is about, are you willing? Do you consent to work in my business? Do you consent to manage the way I say manage? Actions that are motivated by choice. I need you to be volitionally in this service. But check this out. Listen, it's about accepting what God has for you. But then also, this is ministry, this year is going to be a ministry year done by choice, not by force. You are going to serve by choice, not by force. God says, I don't want to have to force you to do it. This has to be a choice. So when you meet at this table, it's about accepting what God has for you. Their success would be based on a choice. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully, Joy. Consent must be had before moving forward. You cannot be reinstated without consent. You will not walk away from this sermon moving into a blessed year of business without giving consent to the will of God. In other words, here it is. Basically, write this down, Shauna. Do you want to do this? Not do I have to force you. Not is somebody making you come to church. Not, Tony, is somebody making you get online every day. Do you have to be dragged out of bed? Do you want to do this? Do you want to be here? Isn't that what happens at a wedding ceremony? The priest says, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband in sickness and in health, broke times, broke cars, apartment, sleeping in car? Do you? I want to know one question. Do you want to be here? The thought is that you do. Since you came to the table to reason with God, it implies that you are. But still, you must give consent. Let me just say, tell me you love me. I'm here, ain't I? But no, it ain't good enough that you're at the table. I need to hear consent. Boy, you better quit messing with me. But I feel the Holy Ghost pushing me in the back. You still, consent must be given or you won't be moving forward. And then look at this last part of this. It's done by choice, not by force. And listen, he says, I don't need you to be perfect. I just need you to be willing. I just need you to be willing. Listen, you cannot move forward in this year without being willing. So he says, I don't, listen, because some of you say, well, I'm not ready. It's not about being perfect. It's just about, are you willing? God says, I'll help you. When we called Moses, Moses said, I can't speak. I can't talk. He said, that's all right. I got you. I'll tell you what to say when you need to say it. Don't worry about all the extras. Just be willing. And that's when the Bible says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat. Here's another business principle. I'm dropping them, Bill Ben. I'm dropping them, Ben Kane. I'm dropping them. Here's another one for you. Watch this. Powerful and successful businesses are built on choices, not indecisiveness. I have been in some pretty powerful boardrooms. I have been in some pretty powerful strategy meetings. I have been on some pretty powerful phone calls across the globe. It's 3 o'clock in my time zone. The other person is 8 o'clock in the morning in their time zone. And we are all power figures on a call. And why are we on the call? We are there to make a choice. Ain't nobody having a meeting and then say we walk away with nothing. We have a meeting because, dog it, I feel him now. We're having a meeting, Terry, because we're trying to make a decision. Business will not happen. Blessing will not occur. Your marriage will not get better if you do not make some choices. You cannot expect to move forward in the fluidity of God's kingdom if you cannot make a choice. If all of your answers are, well, I don't know. Well, I'm praying about it. Well, I'm not sure. Well, I gotta sit on it. Well, you sit right there and be broke all you want to. The kingdom for 2021 is about people who are ready to make choices. Let me be clear. Powerful and successful businesses. I didn't just say business. I said powerful and successful businesses are built on choices, not indecision. So living this year uncertain will be done to your own demise. Yeah, I see. Said it. God says, I will fund and support franchises that operate this year with intentionality and volition. It reminds me of Joshua, who said, choose ye. There it is. First word, choose ye. Help me quote it, Cynthia. I know you know it. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, come on, make it personal, we will serve the Lord. Remember, the Apostle James says, you have not because you ask not. You can't make a choice. You don't know what. Well, just give me whatever you got. I don't want to live with nobody who just give me what you got. Tell me what you want. Tell me how you're feeling. Tell me what you need from me to make you happy. Tell me, express it to me, and then get on your knees and ask God to give me what I need to respond to what she's asking for, instead of berating her or him and asking God to get them or change them. Ask God to give you what you need. Why? Because I'm a business owner. Woo! businessmen know how to go in and negotiate. Businessmen know how to sit down at the table, and they come with a pad. They come with notes. They come ready to, man, you messing with the wrong person. God says, I'm going to fund people who are willing to choose me. So you have to put yourself in a position to make the right choices. Ultimately, we have a vision statement. Be clear on what you want to accomplish this year. Here's the second condition. I got to move on. Running out of time. The end is coming. I see the end finish line. Second condition is compliance. The first one was consent. The second condition is compliance. In other words, submission. In other words, the term for compliance is the same as the word, if you be willing and obedient. So the first one, consent, is willing. The second one is obedient, which is for compliance. All right. So we look at this and we say, well, are you going to do what I ask you to do? Submission. The first thing was, are you willing to do it? The second thing is, are you going to submit to actually do it? So this is compliance, and compliance is obedience. Compliance is the same thing as obedience. It means you submit to another's authority. Are you willing to submit to another's authority? Now, all you renegade rogue Christians who say you don't need a pastor, you don't need a church, you don't need a mentor, you don't need a deacon, I'm telling you, that is a breach of submitting to God's authority. Listen to me. When you work in technical support, let's say you work in customer support and you have a supervisor and you have a manager, let me tell you something. You may never sit down with the CEO and directly disobey his regard, but every time you disobey your supervisor, every time you disobey your manager, you are disobeying the CEO. So every time you disobey the hierarchy that has been placed over you, you disobey this compliance rule. You say, well, they didn't see me. They don't have to see you. It's about, did you submit to the people God placed? Cat dogging. God puts friends in your life to help you remain in compliance. God puts family. God puts, have you ever had a boss who was more than a boss? They became a mentor. They became somebody who trained you, somebody who you just watch. God places people who become authorities in your life, and they help you with your submission. And when you submit to the people and the structures and organizations that God puts in your life, that is your way of saying, I am going to be in compliance. Now, the text here, the Hebrew word for this, really implies that you hear something well enough to believe it well enough to do it. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the Hebrew word says, I'm willing to submit to God's authority because I hear what he's saying to me. I hear it so good that it makes me want to do it. Now, that's the difference between Christians who don't hear so good. You don't hear so good, Lucy. You come to church, but you don't hear it. And I know you don't hear it because you don't do it. And the Bible says you need to be not hearers only of the word, but doers also. James said that, because when you're hearers only, he said, you deceive yourself. It's like looking in the mirror and you don't know what you're really looking at. So you've got to come out of just asserting I'm a Christian, or just saying I'm saved, or just saying I'm praying for you. You have to move from saying it to doing it. So once you get finished saying I'm willing, Lord, then you've got to be willing to say I'll do it, Lord. I say that again. Once you finish saying I'm willing, Lord, you got to be able to say I'll do it, Lord. Oh, this is good teaching. I'm almost finished, so don't get worried. I ain't going to be long. You've got to be doers of the word. Uh-oh, here it is. Pop another one, baby sister. Here it is, Lisa. Here's another business principle. Write it down. Here it comes. Here's another business principle. Write this one down. No one will do the work for you. What you learn, you are obligated to enact. Let me tell you something. There is no business that has ever paid for me to go to a workshop or a seminar or a retreat to learn something new and then come back and not implement it. There ain't nobody sending you to learn something new and you don't implement it. God is not saying, get this teaching every week and then you don't have to do nothing with it. I'm not spending my money on you. I'm not pouring into this man of God to deliver deliver to you every week and you don't do anything with it. The principle is God will not do the work for you. You can sit there sitting, I'm waiting on the Lord. Lord said, I'm waiting on you. I've given you instruction. In other words, the Hebrew word, I told you, it's where you hear it well enough to where you're willing to do it. When you hear this man of God, when you hear this ministry, when you go online, you listen to the messages and you listen to old messages. When you hear these messages, it is God's way of saying, I need to know, are you willing to do it? And every time you hear something and you don't do it, you fall out of compliance. And bless God, you may have to call another meeting to get recertified again so that you can be reinstated to do business. That's all right. You're not ready to hear this. You've got to understand then that God will not do the work. The inference is that God gives you a word and that word is for you to succeed. In other words, read the Bible and just do what I ask you to do and you will succeed. Follow our playbook. Doesn't the franchise owners, they give you a manual. The corporation gives you a book, to a standard, what do you call them? Standard operating procedures, SOPs. They have policies and cat dog it. From Genesis to Revelation, God gives you his policies and his procedures. Operate by the book and you will be successful. If you don't, the year will devour you. If you meet these two conditions of consent and compliance, God will reinstate your franchise for business again. Once God reinstates your business because you did the right thing by starting off your year recertifying your spirituality, you can now reap the benefits of corporate heaven, and the year should look something like this. This is how your year should look in 2021. If you do what God told you in the book in Ezra 1. Uh-oh, let me move on. Here it is. This is what it should look like. If you become willing and obey me, that's the condition. You will eat good crops from the land. There it is, right there in front of you. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good crops from the land. Finally, what does it mean to eat the good of the land? In other words, when you bring out of heaven the things God has for you and you are faithful in the earth, he says, I will tell the earth to feed you. I will create a process of reciprocity, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That if you sow sparingly, then you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. God loveth a cheerful giver. When you start positioning your life of faithfulness, when things are not the way you want them to be, but you still stand fast, where you hold the realm and you captain the ship that God has given you to weather the storm, when you're responsible for the lives on your boat and you're not selfish, only worried about you, then God says, I will command the sea to bring fish to you. I will command the job to give you a raise. I will command the marriage to begin to pour back into your love life. You will begin to reap the good of the land. And as you sow in service to God this year, you should see a harvest. Somebody say harvest. So sow into good soil. If you want to reap healthy and you want to reap big, then do business in the proper locations. Some of you keep going back trying to revive old businesses that are dead. And God says, I closed that business for a reason. Write it off and move on. God will bless you through the land you have been given leadership in. We talked last week about how God gave that penny to the person. And he said, because you ruled that well, I'll give you 10 cities to rule. In other words, to the place and the ability that you are able to be an owner in God's business, he says, I will quantify your leadership, your influence, your sphere of influence to your degree of faithfulness with the one thing I gave you. Yeah, doggy. God is not even saying be faithful with 1,000, just take the one and do something with it. The one becomes 10 and the 10 gets you 10 cities of leadership. Somebody say, I'm an owner. Sort of like thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As God has declared your blessing in heaven, God will have his will done and find its way into reality on earth if you remain faithful. But I got news for you. For all of those who are not willing to consent and to comply, the Bible says, if you refuse to obey and if you turn against me, you will be destroyed by your enemy's swords. The Lord himself said these things. If you refuse to recertify spiritually, I can't make you come to the altar. I can't make you choose God's way. I can't make you read the Bible. I cannot make you pray. But if you refuse to consent and comply with God's word, this year will bring you famine and dearth. In essence, laziness and disobedience will become your enemy, and they will destroy you with a sword of lack. In other words, the sword that becomes your enemy is sleeping too late. The sword that becomes your enemy is laziness and apathy. The sword that becomes your enemy is that you won't go back to school. The sword that becomes your enemy is that you won't go to counseling with your husband. The sword that becomes your enemy is that you won't try to ride for 30 minutes and lose 300 calories. The sword that's going to kill you is the things that you won't do for God's glory. And I've got to get out of here because it's time to go home. I want to give you my concluding thoughts, and the thoughts come like this. As we look into this room, look at that room. Do you see the chairs there? Do you see the whiteboard there, in case we have to take some notes? In this room, I want you to see yourself this second week of 2021, explaining yourself to God to be recertified so you can get back to work in the family business. Countless applications are denied every day. Somewhere out there right now, somebody is stamped on their unapproved. But today, God says, I want to approve you. I want to forgive you and put you back to work. God wants you on his team, and we must work the business because the business won't work itself. I'm going to say that again. We must work the business because the business won't work itself. I read last week out of Luke where the Bible says in the King James Version, he says, occupy till I come. In other words, do business until I come back. Our spiritual apathy is often the cause for the slow dissipation of darkness. I kind of believe that if we would have stronger business Christians who were doing their business of God, we might not be in such a racial climate, because we will have loved somebody into the kingdom. Our religion alone will never be enough to atone for the wrongs done in our world. Just being a Christian is not what God has called us for. God has on multiple occasions said that sacrificing of bullocks and other animals is insufficient to get rid of the ills of the heart. Only Jesus can heal the hole in your soul. So you can have church all you want to, and make all the praise the Lords and hallelujahs you want to, but religion by itself will never change a heart. Going to church and singing songs and wearing long clothes will never feed the hungry. It will never visit the sick, and never will visit the imprisoned. Religion alone, Christianity in name alone, will never suffice. It never has, and it never will. God was gracious enough to wink at the sins of the people in the Old Testament until Jesus came to fulfill the requirements of our complete atonement. But now that Jesus has come and died on the cross and rose again for our salvation, he ain't winking at nothing. We are responsible for the lives we choose and the lives we live. But just because grace abounds, we are not to continue in sin. We are to convert our religion into redemptive acts of business that impact a world that needs the same love of God we have been blessed to receive. Somebody say amen. We can't just say we're forgiven but don't do anything to change. We can't say God forgive us but won't forgive our brother. We can't say God delivered us but won't deliver another. Faith without works is dead. The family business is to demonstrate heaven to earth, to display ourselves ourselves as disciples of the Most High God to demonstrate what love is, not just state it, not just walk around saying God loves you. Show them God loves you. It is our duty. It is our change, and it must be our business. Matthew Henry, commentator, said, it is not enough that we cease to do evil. We must learn to do well. People brag about quitting a whole lot of stuff, but nobody brags about learning nothing new. We must do good ourselves instead of telling others to stop evil and do good. We must speak for those who have no voice, because doing good in the earth honors God in doing so. Doing good will always go further than a great church concert in our own house. We must sing those songs into actions on the street. The reason we don't get good and the reason we don't do good is because doing the business of God is tough, but it's worth it. It yields a higher dividend to the majority than the preferential insecurities that come from satisfying ourselves. We must learn to live for others and not for ourselves. We must learn to be in business for other people. We must bring our hearts to our hands and our minds to our feet. And we must be a living body instead of a statue of hope. Demonstrators of what victory over sin actually looks like. And that victory over sin must translate into the love and help and calling of the unbelievers in our land above our condemnation of the very same people. It must be our business to be the word in the earth, to be living epistles that are in no way perfect, but reliant upon the Father who authorized us and recertified us to represent him in this very world he died to save. So today in this room, we must pledge our consent and our compliance. In this room, we must pledge our consent and our compliance. Fear not your improprieties that may be discovered at the peril of your disqualification, but trust the God who called you. In spite of already knowing your issues and your improprieties would occur, he called you anyway. And yet he called you to serve in his family business. He gave you a leadership position. He called you priests. He called you rulers. He called you people who were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. The point of this entire talk in this small, dark, and quaint meeting room is to be restored to God's favor. Somebody say favor. We need God's favor and blessing before we do anything in 2021. And we aren't serving hoping that God will approve us. We're serving knowing that God already has approved. So I'm telling all of you in the name of Jesus, go forth, be recertified so that your business can be reinstated. I'm telling you, if you go to the altar, if you go before God, I guarantee you approval if you're willing to consent and comply. Last week, our repentance positioned our business for our self-evaluation. It was for us to know and admit what we did wrong. But this week, our recertification spiritually with God is to put us back in the game with heaven's full support and blessing. I decree all of heaven's support on you today. I decree the backing of all of the kingdom of heaven. I decree his funds, his finances, his investment, his software, his tools, his marketing, everything. If you're willing to come to the altar today to consent and comply, my business has been reinstated. Effective 1/10/21. And whenever somebody asks me, do you have tax exemption? What do? I pull out a letter and I say, I got it in writing. I got it in writing. And what do I say? Effective. As of what date? 1/10/21 is the day God recertified me, and it's the day he turned me loose. Somebody say, my business has been reinstated. Effective 1/10/21. Come now, let us reason together with God in the room of recertification. I'm PC, and that's all I've got. Somebody say amen. Woo!